A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven,
concentrate
on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights are probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 374. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about the Supermarionation Revival. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
This is one of those discussions we do roughly once a year where we talk about a spin-off from a British science fiction television show into another medium, or in this case, a spin-off from several British science fiction television shows into a variety of other media. So we are talking about the revivals of Gerry Anderson's Supermarionation puppet shows from the 1960s. Last time we looked at the Filmed in Supermarionation documentary, which included some new Supermarionation footage in it, and the Thunderbirds 1965 anniversary episodes, 3 half-hour episodes that included original audio from vinyl EP recordings that had been released in the 60s, but brand new Supermarionation marionette visuals added to them. And we talked a bit about some advertising work that they did with this Supermarionation medium and working with Thunderbird's characters as well.
And so for this episode, we're going to move on to some more recent projects that built on the success of these earlier films and also on the work of Stephen LaRiviere and his team, his partners at Century 21 Films. And we begin with another short documentary called Century 21 Slough, which is about 35 minutes long, Brian. It is to do with the fact that we talked about last time that the Stirling Road estate buildings in Slough, which were the home of TV 21 productions in the 1960s and later became a Car Mechanics, and then even later became the sort of the setting for filming of the stuff we talked about last time. Stephen LaRiviere found out that it was finally going to be demolished in 2018, and he got permission for one last visit to the site to make another documentary film about the studios and the magic that had gone on there.
Yes, and this, you know, of course, was a warehouse because the type of work they do for Supermarionation stuff takes up a lot of space, and they again recreated some of the sets and the gantry or the bridge that the puppeteers stand on above the set, and brought back some original Gerry Anderson team members to once again talk about some memories and capture some of that on film.
Yes, particularly Mary Turner from the puppet department and David Elliott, the ed director that we talked about a bit last time.
Yes, and both of them did a lot of work with Gerry Anderson back in the day in the 1960s. And they combined this with some archive footage and clips from the shows and so on.
And I think also Sylvia Anderson's daughter is in there revisiting the property. And it's a delightful bit of nostalgia. One last chance to look back on this building before it was demolished. It's, as I say, it's called Century 21 Slough. It's only 35 minutes. The best way to watch it at the moment over here is on Amazon Video, where you can rent or buy it. It's fairly cheap, obviously, because it's a short episode. And I think there are ways of getting to see it in North America, Brian.
Yeah, it's also available on Amazon Video in the US. And there it's only $1 to buy it. It's not even a rental because it's so cheap to buy. It's also available on Vimeo on demand for buy or rent, which for me here in Canada, that's the way to look at it. And I think outside of the US and UK, Vimeo is probably the way to go for that.
Okay, so that's Century 21 Slough. Let's move on to a TV crime show over here in the UK called Endeavour, where the producers approached the Century 21 team to film some sequences for an episode. Now, you're probably familiar that Endeavour is the 1960s-based prequel series to the incredibly popular and long-running Inspector Morse TV show.
Yeah, that's set in the 1960s, but it's a current show that was done quite recently, I think.
Yes, that's right. And sort of timey-wimey stuff, going back to the young detective as he starts his career in the police department in Oxford in the 1960s. And so for the second episode of the sixth series of Endeavour, an episode called Apollo, set around, as you can imagine, the time of the Apollo 11 landing on the moon. And the episode, it's a complicated plot, as sometimes the show is, involves an Oxford team of astronomers who are part of the Space Race Project. There's a spiritual guru running a holistic sort of therapeutic community. But there's also, within the episode, there's something else quite important to us, Brian.
Yes, there's something called Moon Rangers, which is a marionette-based show that is inspired by the Gerry Anderson shows and the things coming out of the Slough studio. And the director and star, Sean Evans, wanted to make this Moon Rangers show that you see being made in Endeavour. He wanted to make that very authentic. So they brought in Stephen LaRiviere and his team, and they also even brought in Mary Turner to help do some puppet sculpting and puppeteering. She, of course, had done lots with Anderson in the 60s, and they made clips for this new show with new puppets and a new look to it, but meant to very much feel like a 1960s Super Mario Nation show.
And there's even a nice little in-joke. You might be familiar with Colin Dexter, the creator of Inspector Morse, while he was alive, often made cameos in the episodes. So one of the puppets in Moon Rangers, the character Colonel Crater, is based to look like Colin Dexter, and then of course voiced for the screen by none other than the voice of Parker, David Graham. So, you know, that's a wonderful little moment as well, Brian.
Yes, for sure.
And we mentioned Mary Turner. David Elliott again was involved. He brought in as an advisor, and they filmed, we know they did some very sort of like Derek Medin special effects explosions, even with the characteristic bit of debris that hits the camera lens and bounces away. So it all looks the part. It's great, really, as an episode. And I must say, I've watched this a couple of times and enjoyed it immensely each time.
Yes, Derek Meddings himself had passed away a number of years earlier, but the techniques that he introduced and the style of things they do for the vehicles and the explosions in the Super Mario Nation shows, starting with filmed in Super Mario Nation, this is something they were really able to recreate and kept doing it for this. Endeavour episodes, season 6, episode 2, Apollo, was broadcast in February of 2019. And in that broadcast, you can actually see Stephen LaRiviere up on the gantry operating some of the puppets with the actors. So that was kind of neat as well.
Fantastic.
And also, if you look on the Century 21 website, you can see a video of them making these sequences, and you can see Mary Turner and Stephen LaRiviere operating those puppets,
which is also lovely as well. I would recommend that little short video on the Century 21 website. And if you happen to have taken out a BritBox subscription over here in the UK to watch the Thunderbird anniversary specials, well, you can also watch Endeavour on BritBox, and that's where I managed to go back and watch the Apollo episode, and I do recommend it. It's a great twisty-turny detective show, and in the middle of it, you've got an obvious love-in sort of creation of a Anderson-type studio and this show, Moonrangers.
Just to note, BritBox is available in the US and in Canada, but most of the things we've been talking about are not available on BritBox in North America, even if they are in the UK.
Content varies depending on where you are, I guess.
It does seem to, yes.
So let's move on to our final Super Mario Nation revival project, and probably for the first time, Brian, we talk about the lockdown of 2020 and the global pandemic. And of course, creative people trying to come up with things to keep themselves busy the Century 21 team comes up with a new series during lockdown in an astonishing tribute to ingenuity and artistry. In their London flat, they made a new series, Brian.
Yes, they absolutely did. And it was sort of a matter of luck that three of the people who could do this kind of thing, La Riviere himself and also Geraldine Donaldson and Elliot Pavillon, were living together. They were sharing a flat. So they were able to build some sets into bookshelves and make a working supermarionation set up in a very small space, which is significant because usually you need quite a big space to do that. So that was something that was kind of remarkable, and they were able to have other people remotely participating. Andrew T. Smith supervised the scripting and production remotely, and they were able to do the actual filming work, the three of them.
And the series they produce is called Nebula 75. You will recognize that the puppets that they're using were used in the Endeavour episode. That's where they got, or where they have, the very expensive puppets from the episode. So they were able to repurpose them for this new series. But of course, as you say, Brian, they had to make sets. They had to have somebody else in England design and build the Nebula 75 spaceship and post it to them. And they produced initially a 15-minute short episode, which they uploaded onto YouTube in April 2020. And it was so successful that they've since gone on to produce, well, quite a few more episodes of Nebula 75. And I love this joke, Brian. They are credited as being filmed in super marionation and super isolation.
Yes, indeed. And those episodes kept getting longer. They started with, you know, a 10 or 15 minute short, and soon they were closer to half an hour, and they ended up with a couple of them being more like 45 minutes long.
Yes, they had a Halloween and Christmas special, which I think are about 30, 35 minutes, and then I think they've got a new episode out this year, Brian, which is even longer.
Yes, they did an eighth episode this year, and that featured a character, and this was one of the few new puppets that they did. They did do some new puppets, as well as ones from Endeavour, and I think one or two were taken from the Thunderbirds anniversary specials as well, but they featured a new puppet who was a film director character, made to look like the director David Elliott, who we've mentioned before worked on both 1960s and revival super marionation. And that character was voiced by David Graham, so that was very nice to see. And even 2021 released shows, David Graham is still doing some voice work, and he's, I believe, 96 now. So still doing a little bit for some of these things, which is lovely.
It is fantastic, isn't it? This is, as I say, this is a stunning project produced in lockdown.
And for each episode, they did a little making of featurette, which sort of parodies documentary extras and their own documentary work, and has sort of 1960s news parody kinds of things, sort of making fun of themselves there and showing a little bit of behind the scenes footage of what they were doing as well.
And regular listeners who are members of our Facebook group will know that I, myself, Brian, am fond of a little bit of whimsy with my sort of sometimes fantastical posts about the British invaders' laboratories and supercomputers. So it'll be no surprise to learn that I am absolutely delighted by these making of features at the end of each episode of Nebula 75, where they sort of, as you say, they sort of make fun of themselves and of the documentaries produced about Anderson shows back in the 60s, and they make jokes about their the extremely small size of their studio flat and the 75 pence per episode budget that they had. it is great fun. They are charming little features at the end of every episode.
Yes, they're very silly and quite fun. They clearly had fun with them, and, you know, it's quite affectionate for this whole medium and the Super Marionation and so on.
Now, of course, they did put all these episodes up on YouTube, and they were there for quite some time. But in fact, as we were sort of getting our notes together and our research together in the last week or two ready to record, Stephen LaRiviere mentioned or tweeted that he had managed to sell Nebula 75 to television. And as a result, as we go to sort of like record, the episodes are no longer up on YouTube. However, you can see the making of features, you can see some trailers and little clips, and you can pre-order the series Nebula 75 on DVD or Blu-ray. And I have this time put my money where my mouth is and ordered the DVD, Brian, you'll be pleased to hear. And at some point, we believe it's going to television. We think that might be first in Japan, because Super Marionation is so popular in Japan. But hopefully it will turn up elsewhere as well. But it's also, you can stream it, I think, Brian.
Yes. So that DVD and Blu-ray release is for the first 7 episodes, so it doesn't include episode 8, which was done a little bit later. The DVD was announced before episode 8 was released, and it is available to stream on Amazon in the US and the UK. So that is an option to be able to look at it now.
And as I say, no surprises that this one is a strong recommend, because they are delightful, these episodes, I think, Brian, and the making of features are just wonderful.
Okay, very nice. So we should move to some of our own thoughts and reviews, if you like, for all of these various things. So, Eamon, why don't we start off with what stands out to you as a favorite and something that you really enjoyed from all of these Super Marionation revival projects?
Well, as you know, Brian, I've been barely able to contain my excitement about this project, particularly Nebula 75, which is just a delight. And the funny little videos that go with it are just wonderful. But I think we have to take our hats off to Stephen LaRiviere and his team at Century 21 Films, all of them, for their passion, their creativity, the fact that they were willing to learn all these old techniques and bring them back again, that they were able to bring in people like David Elliott, Mary Turner, David Graham for advice and guidance and voicing and puppetry and so on. So, I mean, the whole creativity, the whole passion behind it is what I really liked about it. What about yourself? Which bits did you want to pick out as highlights?
Well, I absolutely agree with what you say about the team and what they've achieved. It's wonderful. For me, the highlight is from the beginning. It's the Filmed in Super Marionation documentary. I thought that was really lovely, how they were able to talk to everyone again, how they were able to recreate some of the sets and the bridge or the gantry that they used for filming it, and have people who worked on it originally come in and see the space and see these things recreated. I thought that was really nice. So for me, that's a personal favorite of this set of things. Now, I think we should go through one by one, at least for some of the major things here, the bigger projects. So, Filmed in Super Marionation, what did you like and what did you think about it?
Oh, it's a lovely documentary. It's a great 2-hour watch that flies past. The fact that they've got archive footage, the fact that they've got interviews with so many of the cast and crew, the beautiful recreations of, you know, Tracy Island and some of the linking sequences that they filmed, the whole thing is just a delight. And the fact that you get an extra disc in the set, depending on which set you buy, but an extra disc which contains some actual Super Marionation episodes linked by new sequences with Parker, Penelope and Scott Tracy. I just, you know, as you know, Brian, like yourself, I just thought it was delightful. I loved the whole thing of Filmed in Super Marionation. And I guess it's pretty much the same for you on that one.
Pretty much, yeah. I certainly liked seeing all of the interviews with both archive interviews and newer interviews. They really got a lot of stuff in there. They also had good explanations of their techniques. They started off looking at some of Gerry Anderson's pre-Supermarionation work. They talked about Twizzle, and they talked about Torchy the Battery Boy. And one of the things they talked about, we often hear about the solenoid system that was introduced for Supermarionation that has the mouth move open and close to match with the recording for dialogue. But they actually talked about the bridge or the gantry system that was introduced, I think, way back on Twizzle in the 1950s. And the idea was that the original concept for one of these puppet shows is you'd have a painted backdrop and someone would stand behind the backdrop and reach over the top with their arms and operate the marionette puppets from there. And Gerry Anderson did not want to do that. He did not want something with a painted background. So he came up with this idea of having the bridge or the gantry that would be way up above the scene that the puppet operators could stand on and have marionette puppets that have longer strings. And that means instead of having a painted backdrop, you can have whatever you want behind them. So they could build a set and dress the set with appropriately scaled things. So, you know, they went into things like that in this documentary, and that was something that I really enjoyed.
Yes, it's all fascinating. Seeing the process is fascinating. And if you've seen Stephen LaRiviere being interviewed on any of the various news programs about his various projects, you'll know that the puppets, they're quite heavy, aren't they, Brian? They take some operating.
Yeah. So there is one thing that I will say on the negative side on Filmed in Supermarionation, as much as I loved it. They did not spend very much time on the post-Thunderbirds shows, in particular Captain Scarlet and the Mysterons. So they sort of moved to, I guess, as they were describing at Thunderbirds, as the peak of Supermarionation, and the things that happened afterwards they only talked about sort of briefly. And I'm a fan of Captain Scarlet and the Mysterons, and I know others are too. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more time spent on that and on some of the things they were doing in those later years in the late 60s.
Okay. Yes, interesting. Okay. As you know, or as our listeners will know, Captain Scarlet and the Mysterons, I think possibly your favorite of the Supermarionation shows. What about if we turn to the Thunderbirds 1965, three episodes, the anniversary specials? What did you like about those, Brian?
Those I also really liked a lot. I liked how they did things in a very authentic way. This was by far the most ambitious thing they had done in doing new Supermarionation creations. And they really made it look like 1960s Supermarionation. But at the same time, they would move to slightly more ambitious things than they could do in the 60s. So it felt really very much like it was the same, but also made it a little bit new at the same time. And a little bit more ambitious in some ways. In particular, while the 1960s Thunderbirds was known for using real hands, you know, human hands in close-ups of characters' hands, they did that here as well. And occasionally they did that with people's feet in the 60s, which they did here as well. But there was a scene with Lady Penelope where you sort of see one hand and the side of her body done with a person doubling for the puppet, which felt very much like 1960s Thunderbirds, but also felt like a little bit more than they would or could have done. So that was really neat.
Yes, they are splendid. I mean, the way that they've incorporated some new techniques, but also, as I say, relearning all the old skills and putting them together. And the quite tense sequence with Lady Penelope in peril as some sort of heat ray is getting closer and closer to her, and the way that they cut between the live action and the puppet and the special effects, it's all marvellously done, isn't it?
Yes, that was very nicely done for sure. That was a standout moment. They also did a number of things with their effect shots that were quite ambitious. I think they did some erasing of wires in some points. They combined some of these modern techniques while really making it based on the original techniques. And it was the original techniques that were holding up everything. So that was quite neat that they were able to do that. And I was quite impressed with that balance and how well they accomplished all of this.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. I suppose the only negative is the fact that for rights reasons, they were probably limited on which original audio adventures they could pick, Brian. And of course, once they picked them, they're pretty much stuck with the script and the audio from that, because there was a couple of moments of sort of, I suppose what we'd say, fairly typical 1960s racial stereotyping in the accents and the characters, unfortunately.
Yes, you do get some of that. Not as much as you sometimes had in Thunderbirds in the 60s, but yeah, there is some of that in these episodes. And that is a limitation with this, that they went with these original audio recordings. So it meant they had all of the original voices. It also meant that they were restricted by that. They couldn't go as far out to new things as they might have with an original script and a new cast. But yeah, there are lots of rights issues with doing new stories versus adaptations. So I think what we got in terms of the choice of audio was based on what they were able to do with the rights limitations.
Okay, what about the adverts for television for the Halifax Building Society or Credit Union? Any sort of major plus or minus points there?
Those were fun. They did a couple of scenes where you actually had Parker interacting with people, you know, a puppet interacting with humans, which I had not seen before with Super Mario Nation. I'm not aware of anything else in that medium that's done that. So that was sort of interesting to see. I don't know that I would want that to be used for, a full dramatic episode of something, but it was interesting to see that accomplished and to see what that looked like.
Yes, it was. I'm not quite sure how they managed that, whether it's digital trickery or whatever. But yes, Parker actually walking into a branch of about a building society or a bank and interacting with the staff there is fantastic to see. They're short, they're sweet. They are quite fun.
Yeah, those are on YouTube, so it's certainly worth taking a look.
Now, I've seen Century 21 Slough, which is also, as I say, fairly short, just over 30 minutes. And it's a nice nostalgic trip down memory lane for a couple of Anderson's team to go back to the building before it was finally demolished. I suspect if you've got filmed in Super Mario Nation, you probably don't really need Century 21 Slough as an essential. Filmed in Super Mario Nation is a much more comprehensive look at the whole of the Anderson team and project. But it is sort of like, it is a nice nostalgic moment, particularly for those team members.
Yes, I have not been able to see that yet. I'll have to get a hold of that. It is available on Vimeo, so I will have to take a look at that. But yeah, it's nice that they were able to do that and sort of go back one more time.
That takes us to the Apollo episode of the TV crime show Endeavour, which again I've seen a couple of times, and it is absolutely great fun. I mean, it's a good episode of television. There's a good mystery to unravel. The Moonranger stuff, and then when it pulls back out and you see the sort of the team actually making the puppet show is fantastic. Yeah, I loved it, Brian. I mean, I've got one negative point, which I can't really mention because it's a spoiler for the episode itself. But yeah, it is great fun. And the Moonranger stuff is fantastic.
Yeah, I haven't seen the episode, but from looking at the clips, it does look quite fun. So certainly, you know, those clips are available and a fun one to look at.
So that is going to take us to Nebula 75, Brian. What do you make of this one?
Well, I was not as taken with Nebula 75 as you were. It was a fun project that they were able to do some of this stuff in bookshelves instead of a huge workshop. So that's kind of remarkable. It was cool to see what they were able to do with it. And it was, you know, a very loving tribute to 1960s Super Marionation shows. I found watching the episodes, they were all right. I didn't enjoy them as much as I enjoyed watching some of the documentary material and the short things and the Thunderbirds 1965. It was fun, but in the end, I felt the episodes were clever, but not that engaging for me.
Okay, so probably Filmed in Super Marionation is your pick of all of these that we've been looking at.
Absolutely.
I'm going to put Filmed in Super Marionation into second place for me, because Nebula 75 is my favourite. I just absolutely loved it. And I particularly love, I have to say, the spoof documentaries at the end of each episode where they show the remarkable ingenuity that they achieved in this small London flat, and the 75p budget well spent, including things like using the self-raising flower for snow for the Christmas episode and so on. I just loved it. I thought the whole project was a delight, and the humour that they demonstrated in the sort of almost self-mocking documentaries at the end was great. So I just love Nebula 75, and I'm eagerly awaiting that DVD, Brian.
Yeah, the humour in those was, it was good, it was well done, but for me, it got a little bit old when you had 8 of them.
Right.
You know, when you had 2 or 3, it was great. And I personally would have liked to have seen them change up the style of those a little bit more than they did. But yeah, they definitely did some good work on this stuff, no question.
So all in all, a remarkable, you know, tribute to the creativity, ingenuity, and I suppose the passion that Stephen LaRiviere and his team have had for Super Marionation in general and bringing these wonderful examples back to our screens. So yeah, I think great stuff.
So we should get into our recommendations. Do you want to start?
Well, mine's quick and easy. I'm just going to recommend all of it, Brian. I think all of it is fantastic. Track down all the bits and pieces that you can. I suppose if I had to concentrate, I would probably go for the Filmed in Super Marionation box set with the 2 DVDs or Blu-rays, and then possibly the Nebula 75 DVD or Blu-ray that's about to come out as we record. So those would be my top picks from the list, but I just loved all of it. I had a great time doing this project, as people can probably tell, Brian. What about yourself?
Well, I'm certainly going to recommend most of this. Filmed in Super Marionation, absolutely, if you have any affection towards the old Gerry Anderson stuff, it's well worth it. And all of these different things on the website, on YouTube, on the Century 21 website, take a look at all of those clips, and I think there's enough there of Nebula 75 for you to decide if you want to buy something from that, you know, if you want to buy it on DVD or on Amazon. The clips for that are a great place to start, and there are clips from Endeavor and so on, lots of good stuff there, so I'd recommend those too. And if you can see the Thunderbirds 1965 or Thunderbirds anniversary episodes, definitely take a look at those are something special. So if you have BritBox in the UK, or if you have some way of looking at those, I would definitely recommend those too.
Fantastic. And we will be posting some links to this stuff on the Facebook group when the episode comes out.
Absolutely. So, in summary, Stephen LaRiviere and the team at Century 21 Films work to revive the Gerry Anderson supermarionation medium and style from the 1960s, but in the 2010s, they started by doing a new documentary called Filmed in Supermarionation that did lots of great things with interviews and explaining things about what was done in the 1960s, and they also did some new supermarionation footage with some original cast members doing voices and rebuilding things the way they had done it so many years ago. And that was continued in even more ambitious fashion with Thunderbirds 1965, where they used these audio recordings that had been released on vinyl EPs to create new visual episodes with supermarionation visuals. And they went on to do some advertisements and clips for the Endeavor episode and so on, and went on to create this Nebula 75 supermarionation series in a small flat with three people working on it during the COVID-19 lockdown in 2020. So they were able to accomplish a lot, and some of that with Nebula 75 is now going to be going to television.
Fantastic stuff. If you've seen any of this revival and you've got your own views, do get in touch. Email us britishinvaders@gmail.com or come to the Facebook group and let us know what you think. And come back and join us next time when we're taking a sort of darkly comic turn from two members of the League of Gentlemen. We're looking at a horror series called Psychoville from 2009. And it's going to be a slightly trickier discussion, I think, next time, Brian.
That one will be a little bit different, yeah. So until then, you can find all of our episodes at BritishInvaders.com, including all the Gerry Anderson ones, Supermarionation, live action, and what have you. Or if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there and join our discussions there. We'll, I'm sure, be talking about some of the Supermarionation series and these revival projects.
And also come along to Voice of Geeks Network, which you'll find at VogueNetwork.com. You'll find British Invaders, you'll find other podcast, you'll find gaming advice and various Twitch streams of people gaming. Lots of interesting stuff going on there. The virtual Tracy Island to our British Invaders headquarters.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada saying Thunderbirds are go.
And this is Eamon in England saying, again, I guess they are, FAB.